it's a good afternoon, 12:17 here in Marion, Ohio. And I do have a little cough, so you'll have to excuse me occasionally. But we're going to be talking to Dr. Feynman. You're listening to A Progressive Life. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Of course I'm here.
There you are, on pot number six. Not that I'm saying you're on pot. I didn't want anybody to think that, right?
No, I've never even tried it, to be honest. I'm square. What can I say?
Well, I did more than I should have, but that was a long time ago.
So. That was before you got married, right?
Yes, it was before I got married.
And I want to congratulate you. The next Monday is your 51st wedding anniversary. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I have,
your wife,
at the very
too.
Top of my phone, says tomorrow is your birthday, the
17th. Oh, my gosh, yes.
So we're both special boys this week.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're turning 39, I believe.
I'm Jack Benny, yes.
Yeah, right.
If anybody remembers who Jack Benny, he never claimed to be beyond 39.
That's
yes.
Right, yeah. And I'm turning, my wife and I are turning 51 years. So.
Yes, yeah. My gosh. It's wonderful that a marriage has lasted that long. It's not very common anymore.
No. You know? Yeah, it isn't. And we always go to a, when we were first married, we stayed at the Holiday Inn on Lakeshore in Chicago, and we could walk over to a place called Old Cafe, which was a Chinese restaurant.
Oh.
And we've done that every year since. We've gone to a Chinese restaurant on our anniversary. And
but you're not doing it this year, I guess, huh?
We are going and picking it up.
Oh. Well, I've done some of that picking up, yeah, but I would not eat in a restaurant, unfortunately, for those restaurants, but it's just not safe.
No, know? It isn't. But the restaurant that we always go to here in Marion, does you can go curbside and pick it up and run and have it at home. So that's we're
good.
Going to do.
To enjoy it, yeah. I want to commend you. I was listening earlier, not all the time, but I was listening at 10:38 when you were talking about someone who had taken the vaccine and how it made you have tears.
Yeah.
And made that comment to Scott. And I just wrote to you, and you didn't look at it, but I said, Glenn, you are such a decent person.
Oh, well, you're kind.
I said, I applaud you for your ability to have tears, as I just heard you say, you know, well, because I also have the ability to have tears.
Yeah, and I was very happy for those people. And then not too long thereafter, we found out that both Scott and I met with one of our guys that he does our sports here, Jeff Ruth, he does the sports in Marion, and he got COVID
two
weeks ago, and he was on the air with me. So,
oh my, in person?
Yeah. So
oh my God.
It's kind of scary. Now, he wasn't close to either one of us, and he did wear a mask coming in, and he didn't get close to us, but we're hoping that we're okay. But the good news was that Jeff is feeling better. And
oh, that's great. Send him my regards.
I will. We'll do that. Well, he might be listening now. So, Jeff, the regards have been sent.
Yes. And I just wish that we hear that one-third or more of the people won't take the vaccine. It's all because they don't believe in science. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. That was one of the questions that my doggy asked me to ask you. Why are people being crazy about this?
Because they lack education, and I hate to say it, a lot of these people, they believe in religion, which is fine, but the religion becomes so dominant that they don't have a brain on their own to go beyond prayer. To just say you're going to pray to make sure everything works out, no, you have to do more than that.
Yeah.
But science and religion clash, as they did in the time of William Jennings Bryan and evolution, 1925, and it's still happening.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And if you think you can pray yourself out of COVID, I think you're just flipping a coin.
And also, you try to deny that it's there.
Yeah.
But some people still do. And some people also say vaccines, they don't like vaccines. I mean, I don't know. I'm just wishing them all good luck. But I think it's crazy, really.
Yeah. I've gotten online trying to figure out how I can be the first person in Marion to get it.
God, don't say that.
I mean to get the shot.
Oh, okay, the shot. Yeah. Well, you should get it soon, because don't think I realized that you had a heart attack. When was that?
Yeah, I had it about 10 years ago, so it's been
I had heart surgery, not a heart attack, but I had chest pains, and I had a quadruple bypass in 2004.
Oh,
not
my.
A heart attack, though, frankly, thankfully. But, I mean, it's been now 16 and a half years later, and I'm thankful that I've had these extra years
Absolutely.
Of life.
Absolutely,
59,
yeah.
That I said to myself, I actually said in my mind to God, I said, and I'm not that religious, but I believe in God, the concept. I said, God, it's too early. You can't do this to me. And I woke up. I'm still here. In 76 tomorrow.
A lot of people would say that's God answering your prayer. I would just say you got lucky.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I don't remember praying to God as I was laying on the table as they put the stent in me, but I
not religious, but somehow I thought of that at the time.
Yeah.
I just said, this is ridiculous. It's too early.
Well,
that's
you
what
know,
I said in my head.
A lot of people know my religious preference right now, but there are things that happen. Like when that young lady took the very first shot in the United States of America, I said in my head, thank you. And I don't know who I was thanking, but thank you.
And I would say thank you to all the nurses, doctors.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Health people, all the responders, you know, cops and firefighters,
right.
and EMT. I mean, they're the first line of defense, and
yep.
Thank goodness for them, and we don't appreciate them enough because we just go about our lives thinking about what we want, but we have to realize we're in a society where what everybody has to deal with, we have to deal with, not just me, myself, and I.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm afraid that's what our religion is now, is me, myself, and I.
And also our government leaders that are leaving soon, that's all they think about.
That's why I say it's our country's religion. My daughter-in-law is a nurse at Ohio State Medical.
Oh, well, hope and, she's all right.
Oh, she's been very lucky in that she got moved off the... She was a critical care nurse, and she got moved off of that right before this all started. But now they've called her back, but now what she has to do is contact... She's one of those contact people. She contacts the people that have contacted somebody that has COVID.
Yeah.
So that's what she's doing right now. But, yeah, we're happy that she's not...
Send my regards to her.
Okay. We'll be glad to.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to politics.
Never ends.
It doesn't end. Well, the first thing I want you to address is, what do you think about our Attorney General Barr deciding to resign on the 23rd of December? Is he forced? Is he smart? Is he just scared? What's causing that? Do you think?
I think he's scared. That's my opinion.
Okay.
I think I can't imagine this. He goes down now as the worst Attorney General we've ever had, and that means Jeff Sessions looks better. Imagine that.
Yeah.
And before that, John Mitchell under Nixon, who went
to
for a while.
Yeah.
And Harry Doherty under Harding, who after when Cruz was in, he went to prison also. I mean, it's getting worse. It's the same with the whole cabinet. Every one of those cabinet members, I don't know if I can think of an exception, maybe there's one, is just horrific. Like even Pompeo having a party he invited 900 people to.
That's crazy.
And then ended up 70 people showed up, but I just read he didn't show up himself because he's now under advisement. He might have a problem with COVID-19. But, I mean, these people are just disgraceful. They're just unbelievable. All of them, just about every one of the cabinet members.
Yeah, now, that's interesting. I didn't realize that there was such a vast difference. 900 were invited, but only 70 showed up.
Actually, 70 said yes, and I think fewer than that. It's not clear yet. So, in other words, people are afraid of doing this, and meanwhile, they're polluting the White House.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I really wish that Trump would go to Mar-a-Lago at Christmas, say goodbye to the White House, not come back, and allow them to start, in defumigating and cleaning up the White House so that Joe Biden and his family and his staff doesn't have to worry how they can do it all in 6 hours on inauguration day. He really should just leave and not come back, but he probably won't do that.
I doubt it.
He's still trying to go after Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
His own kids are criminals in their activities. And it's just, and that's why this new temporary attorney general, Jeffrey Rose, I think his name is.
Yeah.
They're going to put him in for a month. He should not agree to do anything that Trump says. He should just, be there as a as a caretaker, as you'd say, because that will only make him look bad. But it's obvious Trump wants something to be done against Hunter Biden as he leaves. He's still not accepted the result, even after the Electoral College, even after Mitch McConnell, of all people, said it's over.
Yeah.
It's just beyond belief, and yet there are people who still back him.
Well, isn't that Rosen? Wasn't he involved in the trying to cover up or adjust the study that was done by, why am I forgetting?
It's something about, I'm not quite sure the details, but he doesn't look totally clean either.
No.
One of these people is besmirched by being connected to Trump, and he's going to be pardoning people left and right, but I don't think he can pardon himself, so the feeling I've read, and I think it's growing, that he's going to resign, maybe with a day, a week, who knows, let Mike Pence in to pardon him, and I would hope Mike Pence would tell him, I'm not going to do it, because I'm not going to ruin my reputation beyond what has been already damaged. But it'll be interesting to see what happens between now and January 20th. I did write about a possible short-term President Pence.
Right.
Which make Biden the 47th, not the 46th president. I wrote, jokingly, I said, if he's there for a week, let's say, does he get a presidential library and museum?
I read your blog on that. I enjoyed that. It wasn't I laughed. I was just kind of cringing. Now you mentioned something that was kind of interesting. Would Pence take it would he allow that to happen to himself, be a president for a week or a day or whatever, and be besmirched by the whole nastiness? I don't think he's going to have to worry about being besmirched. I think he already is.
But it'll be worse. But also, January 6th, when he has to announce the vote count of the Electoral College.
That's my next question to you. What's he going to do?
I'm assuming Trump would not leave before then, but he should not do anything but announce what happened.
Yeah, and that's what most vice presidents have done in the past.
Al Gore did it after he, quote, lost, although I still think he won 2000, and also Nixon in 61, and also Humphrey in 69. They didn't like to announce their own defeat.
Right.
Well, in this case, not his, but his president's defeat. But the point is, it's got to be done.
Yeah.
It's got to be done. Dan Quayle had to announce the defeat of Bush in 93, after one term, and it's amazing Dan Quayle didn't make a mistake.
Oh, he's run down so
Dan
much.
Quayle.
Yeah.
I actually refer Dan Quayle to Mike Pence right now.
I'm not sure which one is on top of that, but
from Indiana, ironically. Oh my God! I'm sorry to say that. But
yeah, I am too. And he's the second vice president to come from Indiana.
They're actually seven, I think, including Thomas Marshall under Wilson.
Oh, really?
Another one. There's a lot of others. Yeah, quite a few others. Yeah.
Oh, I thought
there's seven, if I'm correct. I believe.
I thought Schuyler Colfax was the only other one. Okay. All right. I stand corrected.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up while we're talking.
Okay. Well, now, we get to the 6th of January, and what is the actual, what do they normally do? Not what we're afraid they might do. Is it just it's a combined Congress and Senate meeting, right?
Yes, and there's 51 envelopes from the states, and the vice president opens them up and announces each result.
Okay, and that's what's normal.
Yes, but there's talk of a couple of House members bringing up an issue and trying to find a senator who would agree to it, and then they'd have to have a vote and a discussion and delay the whole thing. And supposedly Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, an absolute monstrous person who defeated Russ Feingold, a great senator in 2010 and again in 2016, he's a horrible person. Him or Rand Paul is considering maybe joining and creating a moment of crisis.
Yeah, but then they have to bring it back to a vote, don't they? And it's voted on, isn't it? Voted on by the House, not the Senate. So
that's correct. Yes.
So the chance of the House passing that is not very good, I would think, since
there's no chance really. But it's just the idea. It's the whole concept that this would even happen. You know, that it's just ridiculous. You know, it's absolutely crazy. You know, it's just beyond belief.
Why do you think this president and this Republican Senate, why do you think they're doing, what advantage is it for them to do this?
Well,
I can't think of any political advantage. I can see the senators being, I guess I can see them being afraid of the president, but I just can't see the advantage for the president.
They said one-third of the country, including the right-wing radio and TV and media, which I wrote about it earlier in the week, that continues to perpetuate that Joe Biden is very corrupt his whole life, ignoring what Trump hasn't really done in his life, and going after his son, and, you know, and of course Rush Limbaugh and people like that. And there's even some people suggesting, I just see today, that he indeed declared martial law and used the Insurrection Act to claim that he must stay in office. The thought that he could still possibly try to do that with 35 days to go, as I've said, it would have to cause, you know, us to react. We couldn't just sit there and say, okay, this is crazy, you know?
Well, that brings up another point. Might he call martial law on the streets of Washington, D.C. because of the Proud Boys taking over and stabbing people and stuff like that?
No, because those are his buddies.
I know.
But... yeah, by the way, I looked it up. I'm wrong on 7. I stand corrected. I'm not perfect. 6 Indiana vice presidents.
I'll be darned. That's
Skyla Colfax, yeah. Thomas Hendricks, Charles Fairbanks, Thomas Marshall, Dan Quayle, and Mike Pence.
I'll be darned.
Okay. Yeah, so there's 6. I guess
I should have known Dan Quayle, too, yes.
Marshall's under Wilson, Fairbanks is under T.R., Hendricks is under Cleveland, and Skyla Colfax is under Grant.
Okay.
So there's 6. And the second most, New York has 11. 11, and Indiana has 6, and Massachusetts has 4. And then there's fewer numbers, but that's a lot, 6 of them, you know.
Now, Ohio is noted for having 8 presidents, I believe.
Yes.
And I think North Carolina also has 8, or they might have 9.
I'm not sure about North Carolina, but Ohio has no vice presidents. None.
None?
None. I'm looking up the list here. Nope. Not one.
They should pick me.
I would vote for you. They don't vote for vice presidents.
I wouldn't vote for me because we got Kamala Harris.
Yes, thank goodness. And I'm glad even Mitch McConnell made a point of saying it's going to be something new and unique to have a woman vice president, one of our colleagues. It was good that he said that.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he came out and admitted that Biden has now passed all hurdles and is the president-elect. So.
And he pointed out that he is one of our colleagues who, you know, he was there for a long time, and they work together.
Yep.
That's the hope, that despite their differences, they can get something done. I just hope, but knowing Mitch McConnell, I don't know if that's possible, because even though he's horrible, some of the people in the Republican Party in the Senate are actually worse than him. They're more extreme right, so I don't know. We'll have to see.
I never thought of him as extreme right.
I don't think compared to some of them he is.
Yeah.
He's, but there's only a few senators there, like the ones working on the package now for the virus.
Right.
Thing that includes Mitt Romney and Joe Manchin, who's Democrat, people like that. There's a few that cross the aisle. And Mitt Romney, I'm not a big fan, but I got to give him some credit that he is certainly a little more reasonable and rational.
Right.
And he has said it's over long ago. This is ridiculous. He's made, and so has Ben Sass of Nebraska.
Yeah.
And so has Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and even Susan Collins of Maine, who should not have been reelected, but still she's less extreme than many of the others.
Well, both Susan Collins and
Lisa Murkowski.
Lisa Murkowski both are on the edge of getting voted out, so they...
But she just won, Susan Collins.
Yeah, she did.
At least she was in danger.
She got 6
more
years.
She has a record. In 2010, she was challenged and lost the Republican primary, ran as an independent three-way race, and won.
And won. That
oh, she might do it again if she has to run as an independent. She seems very popular. Alaska's a little bit of a crazy place where they have these extremes. But you can also win less than 50% of the vote and win. So I think she probably will be safe. But he's going to go after Trump, certainly. You know, I'm sure of that.
Do you think Trump has anything to do with these Proud Boys taking up arms on the streets of Washington?
He's encouraged them by his rhetoric.
Rhetoric, yeah. But do you think that he's got any direct line to them?
That would be probably hard to prove, or who knows what will show up later.
Yeah.
But I do think that he has a link to them in a way. But now Twitter's going to knock him off apparently completely once he's out of office. He won't be allowed them, for what I've read.
Is that right?
On Twitter. That's what they're saying. I don't know if it's official, but there's rumors that Twitter will not let him stay on at all because of his incendiary rhetoric.
Well, I'm going to read something to you. I was going to send it to you. I'm going to see if I can find it first. Hang on. This is my latest tweet. Well, no, I've got two tweets.
Well, I'm also on Twitter. I guess you should, you know, tell me what your, you know, what your name is so we can connect that way.
It's just Glenn Coble.
Okay, yeah.
This was my
I'm Powellithist. Powellithist. You just look at Ronald Fineman, you'll find it. Yeah.
Okay, this is what I put on first, and I actually did it. I had too many words, so I had to do two of these. Accept what you have. Be brave in thought and deed. Make mistakes, learn, and move forward. Try something else. The greatness of America is not about you or me, but us. Honesty and facing reality is the strength of our people and nation. Help those that are less privileged. And then I followed that up with, these are not my original thoughts, but are stimulated by Winston Churchill and FDR in speeches, and I listened to them on John Meacham's podcast, Hope Through History, and I was so inspired after listening to those that I had to put that on there. Do you ever have things that you just have to do, even though you know nobody's going to listen to it? However, over 100 people have listened to or read my Twitter.
Well, I wasn't aware of it. Congratulations on doing that. And actually, when you were reading it, I was thinking Eisenhower would have said something like that.
Yeah, he might have, yeah.
Also, Jimmy Carter, I could see saying something like that, bless him.
Yeah, yeah.
And others, too, but particularly those two is what came to mind. I wasn't thinking further back for some reason.
Well, and now the last Twitter I want to read to you is the one I just put on. That says, one of the reasons that we need free press is so history will correctly reflect how we corrupted this current government and it will shame those who participated. I really believe that. I think people don't give the current press very many credits because this particular president hates the press.
Well, he's absolutely wrong. Even the press is unpopular. Or people don't like what it says, we need to have it. And when we have people looking at extremist media and ignoring the media that have been reliable for so long, that's really disturbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, you're under Coble Progressive Life. Is that the name you're under?
Yeah, yeah.
You also have another Glenn Coble. You have more than one Glenn Coble. The only one you have is a Progressive Life.
Right, and probably the reason why there are others is I never knew how to do that stuff when I was running for office, and I probably put things up there that I didn't intend to. But anyway, okay.
Anyway, so my name is Powellithist.
Okay.
Powellithist. I just made you a friend.
Okay, excellent. I will respond in kind. Now, also, talk to me about, this is one of the things you and I talked about yesterday off the air. Talk to me about the electoral vote. Did it surprise you that nobody tried to break away from the rules?
Well, we actually don't know that for sure because there's still the danger of the faithless elector where, just like last time, 7 electors voted for other than Trump or Clinton. So the numbers might be slightly different.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Trump lost 2 and Clinton lost 5 last time, officially. I mean, they had 306 to 232, but it ended up 304 to 227, and there were 7 other people I mentioned, I think I said last time, including an Indian chief got a few, and I think it was Colin Powell got one, and Bernie Sanders got one, and so it might not be that, but the only way it would be an issue is if we had a total of 36 electors not vote, or 37, I guess, not vote for Joe Biden, and there's no indication of that. And we'll see on January 6th whether it's exactly 306,
okay, so
32, because it wasn't last time.
So we really don't know, even though we watched it on TV, we don't know that those counts that were given by each state are correct.
Not officially, because it's technically secret. It's supposed to be secret. At least that's what it always has been. Although, in the state of Washington, on the West Coast, I gather they did it openly, where each of the electors announced what they were doing. I don't know if they did that in every state. It's hard to know. And one of the people is a person who has a heart condition that apparently is inoperable and is dying, yeah. And he's one of the electors, and he was weeping, and I ended up weeping with him and watching it. Boy, I'm such a softie. What can I say?
Yeah. They had to wheel him in a wheelchair. I remember. I saw that.
So, I'm not sure. Maybe now they did it all publicly, but I don't know that all of them did it publicly. Some of them may have done it where it was done virtually, and who knows what they put into their envelope that's mailed. So I don't know. We do not know for sure until that day.
And that's what they will see on the 6th. Pence will open that up and see exactly what each state said.
Yes. By the way, if for some reason, which is interesting, it turns out that Trump, quit before January 6th, and Pence became president, then there'd be no vice president, and therefore, get this, the Speaker of the House is next in line. She would have to read open up the 51 envelope.
Oh, okay.
In theory, I'm just saying, you know.
That's Pelosi, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure that not. I was thinking it was going to be a 1 month presidency like William Henry Harrison, but no, it would have to happen by the 20th. It's obvious it's not going to happen that quickly.
Okay.
It might be the joke of an hour a day. Who knows?
Yeah.
Honestly, he should not resign. He should finish. Although I wish he would, but I think he should really stay to the end. And if he wants to pardon himself, he could do it. And I think the Supreme Court would rule it unconstitutional after the fact.
Okay, now.
But I don't know. It's such an uncharted territory. Never had a case like this.
Yeah. Now, one of the big, I guess it's a political question that's being asked about this COVID vaccine is each state is determining what order they give it in. So there are, most of them are giving it to, you know, the frontline workers like the nurses and the doctors and stuff like that. But then they also are going, then a lot of them are going to home, nursing home residents.
Yeah.
But nobody said anything about jailed inmates or people that are just shut in that have no way to get out. How do we take care of those people?
Well, honestly, and of course, I'm a liberal, and you are, progressive. I would say those in prison should get it very quickly because they are in conditions where, even though they're in prison, they're not all, you know, horrible, terrible murderers and rapists. Some of them are, but many are in because of drug convictions and things like that.
Yep.
I think people in prison should be a priority because they have no way to escape it, and there are plenty of them dying, for what I've gathered. And the same with those in meatpacking plants and other places.
Yeah.
You know, I would say people that are in conditions where they're around lots of other people and the conditions are more likely to lead to, you know, to getting COVID-19 should come first.
Yeah.
You know, come after the healthcare and the nursing homes. That's what I think.
Now,
I know many people are probably rolling their eyes and saying, you're one of those libtards.
Yeah. Well, it's a good, Marion is a good example of why that should be because when the COVID started hitting hard, for 1 week, Marion was the number one county in the United States as far as illness. Because
I didn't know that. Wow.
Well, they were counting our prisons. We have 3 prisons in this town. And at one point, I think there were like 1,700 of them were sick.
Now, my God.
And I don't think any of them died, but they a lot of sickness.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's...
don't get good health care anyway. And I say everybody deserves decent health care, even though Republicans don't care about whether people have health care. They've been fighting Obamacare, which is not perfect, but it's better than what they... You know, they have no alternative.
Yeah, yeah. And the president keeps saying he has the best health care.
He does, maybe.
Yeah.
He does.
No, he says he has the best health care plan, but nobody's ever heard it. So
no. No.
All right. One of the things I heard on my talking heads really got me thinking. This is just a quote from a Native American. He said, "Nothing about us without us." In other words, don't make any laws or any changes that affect us without us.
I agree. And by the way, I do think since the number of cases of COVID-19 are much higher among people of color, either African Americans, Latinos, or Native Americans. They should be getting the chance for the COVID-19 before wealthy upper class people. And the wealthy should not come first, because they always come first, and it's time to end that.
How do you do that without making it kind of, well,
political? Well, it is political.
Yeah.
Why should rich people always have an advantage over middle class and poorer people, and people, especially with so many cases among people of color? I think that should be a priority. Of course, a lot of them won't take it because they don't trust the government, because
that's
of
right.
past discrimination yeah. in medicine, so many cases, you know, in the past. But, I mean, one thing, if they don't want to do it, but I think there needs to be, not to have only the wealthy people in Wall Street and in California or places like that get it, you know. Again, it's going to be helping. They've been mentioning that on TV, on cable, and it's an issue, you know.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we should discriminate against a person because they have money.
But you're not discriminating against people at the end of the line because they're poor.
Yeah, no.
I don't know how you do it. There is no easy way. That's the problem, you know.
There isn't. Yeah. And a lot, you keep hearing of these, heads of state or heads of states saying that they should get it because they have such a big... they're required to do so much for their state. Well, I've heard a lot of people are saying that the president-elect should, and the vice president-elect should get the COVID inoculation right of way.
Yes.
And I agree with that, but he seems to think he shouldn't. He should wait his turn. And I...
But he's a decent person.
You know,
he's not going to say, I come first, but... Yeah. I think he should get it before Donald Trump gets it. Donald Trump's leaving.
Yeah, I don't think Donald Trump needs it, does he? He's already had it.
Well, first of all, we're not even sure he did. Some people think he really didn't. Who knows? But even if he did, he's leaving. And if anything happens, Pence is there.
He had it when he was on that moon landing back in 69. He had it.
Best, yes.
That was staged.
I think the president-elect and vice president-elect, even if they don't want it, should come very soon because they're the future of the country.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I agree with that. Even though I know the president-elect has said he'll wait his turn.
Yeah, because he's not selfish. He's a decent, compassionate human being, which is why I've always loved him. Because not too many politicians are like that. I mean, some are all right, but some really are special. And I think he and Hubert Humphrey, years back, were just two special people.
Yeah. Well, has your governor down there in Florida, has your governor said anything about the order that they're going to get the COVID virus vaccine out?
Well, the nursing home's certainly on the list, but
they are.
Ron DeSantis should face indictment for negligent homicide, really, because he's not really doing anything. He's a horrible governor. He's a disgrace. I wish we had the Ohio governor or the Michigan governor or the California governor or the New York governor or the Maryland governor and others who are being responsible, but he's more like the South Dakota governor, Kristi Noem, because he's a Trumpite, and he just doesn't really seem to know what he's doing. It doesn't seem to have any concern about people's lives.
Yeah, but that North Dakota governor, she's pretty.
Well, still South Dakota. South Dakota has actually started to crack down.
Yeah.
Yes, she is pretty, and supposedly she's thinking of running for president. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I certainly do.
Looks don't matter as much as character, as I've always said, you know?
Yeah, looks
course,
don't hurt, though.
Nice to look at. A lot of people are nice to look at, but it doesn't mean... by the way, talk about good-looking women. How about the new, person to head Energy Department, Jennifer Granholm of Michigan, former governor? She's really attractive. I've always thought she's very attractive. Former governor Jennifer Granholm of Michigan.
Yes, she is.
The energy secretary, and Pete Buttigieg is going to be the transportation secretary.
That's
great. You know,
that's one of the questions I have on my phone. Ask Dr. Feynman what he thinks of Pete Buttigieg. Now, Pete is from my hometown. I think of South Bend, Indiana as my hometown from a long time ago. And so I'm going to call him and ask him for a job in his, his group.
But, no, I think he's really great. I think he's really outstanding. He's got great talent. He was an interesting candidate. I knew he wouldn't be. But I thought that, I knew he wasn't going to win. But I think he's got potential. And by the way, the whole cabinet so far, I've looked it up. He had said he was going to, our president-elect, have racial and ethnic diversity and gender diversity and diversity based on sexual orientation.
Yeah.
Turns out at this point, 50% of the appointments that he's made are white, 25% are black, 11% are Hispanic, 40% are Asian. That's really,
really?
Impressive.
Huh, that is impressive.
And now, 50% are men and 50% are women, and we have the first gay cabinet member known to be being Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there probably have been others that we didn't know, but...
Yes. Yeah.
Now, 25% are African American.
Yes.
Now, that's about double what the population is. I believe the population is about 13 or 14%.
I believe so, yes.
And so,
actually, there are more Hispanics in the country than African Americans.
Yes, there are. And yes. I'm a little shocked that they would go that high. Is the president-elect not going to get some blowback on that?
Possibly from the Latino community, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not done yet. He still has a number of appointments. I'm going to be interested to see who he picks as Attorney General.
Right.
I hope it's Doug Jones, who's white, of course, and the outgoing senator from Alabama. He's really good. I hope it's him, but we don't know. And there are some other positions we don't yet know, you know, about five cabinet positions. So we'll have to wait and see. What happens, you know, it's unsettled.
What do you think of his appointment of Rice? Now, he put her in a position that I would say is not one of the marquee positions, but I don't think he could. I think he would have gotten too much blowback on that.
Well, because she was under Obama and...
Yeah.
You know, and she was National Security Advisor and all that.
She was a hard nose.
I think she creates problems.
Yeah.
To make her one of the leading cabinet members, probably, I thought she was going to be, but in a way it makes sense politically, probably that he can't do that.
Well, my guess is that he will put her in the position that he's said he's going to put her in, and as things happen, he will move her up.
Very possibly, but also locally in Ohio, Marsha Fudge is the nominee for HUD, Housing and Urban Development.
Now, what is her background?
She's been in the House since 2008. Mm-hmm. She has the Congressional Black Caucus and mayor of Warrensville Heights, Ohio, before that.
All right.
So she's been there for 12 years in the House of Representatives. Yeah.
But not a household name amongst politician type.
Actually, some of these appointments are people I really don't know much about.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have to know everything about everybody. He's not picking any of his opponents so far in the presidential race except for Buttigieg. I think the main reason is because the ones that are in office, like in the Senate or the House,
he doesn't
create
need
problems if their seats become vacant, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I was going to ask you a question about that very thing, and it slipped out of my head. Well, it'll come.
You mentioned Secretary of Agriculture. Surprisingly, he picks the one who was 8 years at that position under Obama, Tom Vilsack of Iowa. He's good, but really? A third term as Secretary of Agriculture?
Yeah.
A little surprising. And it was talked that Marsha Fudge would have been that, but instead he made a housing secretary. So there's some surprises. You know?
What, the gentleman that ran the, was it Kreb? Chris Kreb? He ran the...
He's testifying today before a committee headed by Ron Johnson. Oh, my God. Ron Johnson is... You know, he's one of the two along with Rampo who could really mess up January 6th. Hopefully they won't, but I don't understand how people could kick out a person like Russ Feingold, who was such an exceptional senator from Wisconsin in the progressive tradition, and put this businessman with no background, just like Trump, into office. Too many businessmen are put into office because they spend their own money to get
elected.
And it doesn't mean they're qualified just because they're in a business. You know, government is not a business. But yet these people are being elected. So he's there 10 years, and he's horrible. He's a really horrible Ron, and yet he has my name. So people say to me, how can you be against someone named Ron? I say, well, I don't like Ron Johnson. I don't like Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, and I was not a big fan of Ronald Reagan either.
I listened to a thing by John Meacham about Ronald Reagan, and he was pretty... complimentary, about Ronald Reagan.
Well, in some ways, but I think he's been overrated, in my opinion. I mean, he's not terrible. He's the fourth best, quote, best Republican in the White House. The higher ones, of course, are obviously Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Eisenhower. But I think as time goes by, an awful lot of what's been going on started with Reagan. with the change of the attitude about what government's role is, and I think it's really done harm to our country. That's my view. But Meacham, I think, is trying to be political, but he's not political when it comes to Trump. He's very much a critic of Trump. All top historians and political scientists are critical of Trump.
Well, now, it is, now, back to Chris Krebs. Do you think he'll get a position in the administration?
Not as a cabinet member, but maybe as someone on the White House staff, you know, involving security, maybe in Homeland Security, but not as a cabinet member, I don't think.
He's a Republican and a real strong, I thought, a very strong character as far as he had to have a lot of character to do what he did.
Yes, and I give him credit, and he's speaking out on it.
Yeah.
That is really good. Meanwhile, the rumor is Commerce might be the one Republican appointee, and it might be Meg Whitman, who was in the corporate world and then ran for governor of California and lost.
Okay.
One Republican. I thought it could have been maybe John Kasich, but I don't think he wants it.
Yeah.
And I guess John... Oh my gosh, from Utah. Huntsman apparently would have been ambassador to Russia and China, I think should be, but apparently not a big name like that, more likely Meg Whitman.
Okay.
But it will be decided by next week, I guess, you know.
Well, we're down to 2 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
So you got to tell me if there's anything we forgot to talk about. Happy birthday to you on the 17th.
Thank you, and happy anniversary on the
20th. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to think of the moment.
Yeah, I know. I threw that
out. I actually slept late more than usual.
Oh, good.
Especially when I sleep late, I'm more trouble getting up.
I'm the same way. My doggie's the same way. So.
But the point is, we both made it. In a couple of weeks, it'll be a new year, and I know it'll be a good year. And I am very appreciative of being able to be on your show every week.
Well, good. Now we're going to have a problem on next week's show, and I'm not sure I'm able to record it or do anything about it. But I will text you on Facebook, and we'll figure out. All right.
Okay. If it has to be recorded, that's fine. I have no problem with that.
I'm not sure that I can even do that. So.
But what's wrong with the date? Is the office going to not be open on the 23rd or what?
I'm not quite sure what we're. I can't be here on the 23rd. So
I see.
That's the problem.
But maybe it can be recorded. Other times things are recorded. Well, anyway, you'll let me know. And if
we'll
not,
figure it out. Pass on it, but take an extra Christmas vacation day.
The 30th, I guess, will be no problem before New Year's. Huh?
Yeah, no problem there.
Okay, so we have to skip, fine, but looking forward to being on with you again. We always have a good time.
Okay.
On Messenger, and also, send himself a phone call. It's nice.
Sure.
Thank you so
much.
All
right, we got about 10 seconds, so I'll say goodbye to you. Have a great
bye-bye.
Day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Dr. Feynman. All right. We hope that you will tune in, and we're kind of going to have to play it by ear for next week. So you are listening to Progressive Life. I'm Glenn Coble, and I hope you have a great day.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for the holidays. For legendary broadcasts.